Good morning, everyone. And before I get started, I certainly want to wish everybody a very, very blessed and very merry, very, very, very merry Christmas. It's certainly an unusual Christmas season to have pouring rain, but I guess we don't have to shovel rain, at least for the most part. I don't know if we got rain coming in over here, if it's just, yeah, it is. We do have a little rain coming in over here. Maybe we need to move our plant under there. Oh. And I'd like to thank Michelle for jumping in. She always is there to jump in and rescue us when we don't have a piano player and we're in desperate need of help. We can always count on Michelle, and that solo was absolutely beautiful. Great way to start out the Christmas season. And what a wonderful time of the year Christmas is. Time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the season that seems to bring the very best out in people. And this is, I guess, a good thing since Jesus came to earth to bring out the best in people. And if you watch any television, you can't help but notice that TV for the last several weeks has been filled with all kinds of great Christmas movies. We've seen many of the Christmas classics that we see every year. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, The Christmas Carol. And it seems like every year or two that many of the new Christmas movies join the ranks of the Christmas classics, and they keep coming back for years to come. But for the most part, many Christmas movies seem to be about families and family relationships. Marion and I have watched several of the Christmas movies over the last couple of weeks. The Hallmark Channel and the Lifetime Channel have had quite a few. Many of them tend to be to show the goodness of man. And some not so good. We can think of characters like Scrooge, you know. So not all the characters in the Christmas movies are great people. But eventually the Christmas spirit seems to get to all of them. And eventually they turn into warm, cuddly people. Often these movies are filled with either personal conflict or family conflicts, but again, the spirit of Christmas seems to always prevail, and there generally is a happy ending. And we like happy endings. They make us feel warm and fuzzy, and I think we all like feeling warm and fuzzy. A couple of weeks ago, Marion and I watched the movie The Christmas Shoes, and to say that this was a tearjerker would certainly be an understatement. And if you were here for the Christmas program, last Sunday evening, Sarah sang the song that told the story of the Christmas shoes. And if you really listened to the words, I'm sure you had to struggle to hold back at least a few tears. I know Sarah said it took her a long time before she was able to even sing that song without crying through it. So the story of the Christmas shoes is about a young woman who's losing her battle with a life-threatening heart condition. And her son struggled to buy her a beautiful new pair of red shoes for Christmas. He wanted her to have these new shoes so she could wear them when she went to see Jesus. And of course, this isn't a real story, but again, it's the kind of story that we so often see in so many of the Christmas movies. And it's not so much that we like to dwell on sadness at Christmas time. And of course, the young mother did die. But the happy part of the story is that the son was able to accomplish his mission that he struggled through the movie to do. He was able to buy the shoes for his mother just in time before she died so that she could wear them when she went to meet Jesus. And we think a lot about family relationships at Christmas, and it's a time when families are often brought together and sometimes forced to deal with either broken or strained family relationships. And it seems like every family seems to have some of those. Christmas is such a special time of the year that it seems to bring all of us just a little closer together. It certainly is a time when families who are apart tend to miss each other the most. I know that Marion and I have 4 children and we have 10 grandchildren, and unfortunately they're spread all over the country. And we would like to be able to spend Christmas with all of them, but we can't. But what Christmas is all about, and we often hear the term, the reason for the season. And as Christians, we all know exactly what the reason for the season is. But let's take a moment to go back in time. Let's go back to that first Christmas 2,000 years ago And try and picture just what that was like. Try to imagine what maybe it would have been like if Christ had been born maybe in 2007. What if he had been born in the era of 24-hour news? With everything being brought to us live right in our own living rooms. And maybe just what it might have been like if CNN News had been there 2,000 years ago when Christ was actually born. I'm going to ask you this morning to play along with me for a bit here. Use a little imagination, maybe a lot of imagination if you need to. And imagine behind me here, instead of this Christmas tree, we have a stable. Very similar to the one in the nativity scene down in front here. A barn, as you would. And in the barn, cattle and maybe some sheep. And let's picture a newsman or a newswoman, or I guess maybe to be more politically correct today, a news person standing in front of the stable in Bethlehem. For just a moment, I'm going to be that news person. I gotta get out my prop here. Good morning. I'm Mike Gillis, CNN News reporting, and I'm standing here in front of the stable in, of all places, Bethlehem of Judea. It's kind of a nowhere place. It's a little over 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And it's a rare occurrence that anything that's ever newsworthy happens here in Bethlehem. It's about 2 a.m. and we've been notified by a group of shepherds that something very special is taking place here in this humble little stable. It's been reported that an angel appeared to the shepherds as they were tending their flocks. Just a short distance from here in the fields just south of town, actually north of town, heading toward Jerusalem. And if you were to travel here from Jerusalem, you would have actually walked right through those fields. Shepherding and caring for sheep and agriculture is the mainstay of this sleepy little community. And I want to read a quote here from my notes because I want to make sure I get this message from the angel correct. The shepherds said, an angel came and appeared to them and said, do not be afraid. I bring you great news, or good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And while the angel was there, according to the shepherds, a host of heavenly hosts appeared to them, singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men of good favor. Now earlier, one of the shepherds told me that they were guided here by this tremendously bright star that you see shining right over the stable right now. I'm not sure exactly who the Savior person is that the angel spoke of. And I'm certainly not sure why an angel appeared to these shepherds to announce his birth. There has been more activity in this sleepy little town of Bethlehem than there ever has been in the history of this community. With the census going on and all the hundreds of people have been pouring into town. And on top of that, an announcement from an angel. Well, it just seemed like something that CNN should come down here and check out so that we'd be able to report to you exactly what's happening. But unfortunately, what exactly is going on in the stable right now, we don't know. But I'm certainly hoping that when the shepherds come out, I'll be able to at least interview one of them to find out what occurred. And certainly that exceptionally bright star over us makes me think that something very special took place here tonight. And remember, you heard it first here on CNN. Now, even if CNN had been there that night, there are very, very few people, other than maybe Mary and Joseph and the shepherds to a much lesser degree, that had any idea of the significance of this night's events. And even they could not really begin to know how important this event would be, nor how it would impact man for the rest of eternity. No one could have possibly anticipated how this event would forever change the world. From this day forward, even time would be referenced differently. throughout the rest of history, we would reference every single occurrence as to how far before or how far after it occurred from this event. No other single event throughout the history of the world would ever again be such a reference point. And since there wasn't any CNN or Fox News or even newspapers to report this event to the world, for the most part, it went totally unnoticed. And very few people for many years to come would have any idea of the significance of this night's events. And we certainly could ask ourselves, why did Jesus choose to be born when there wasn't 24-hour news? When there wasn't any newspapers or even the internet to report such an event that held so much importance for man? And why, of all places, did he choose to be born in a barn in Bethlehem? How did it happen that Jesus was born that night to a young Jewish peasant girl in a stable in Bethlehem? You know, God always finds a way to use the most unlikely of people to carry out some of the most important missions in history. He chose Moses. He chose Noah. And for this, he chose Mary. It would seem that for God to put such important tasks in the hands of humans, humans who seem to always have such a knack for screwing things up, that at best, it's risky business. So what was God thinking? We can only imagine what the angel Gabriel thought when God sent him to make the announcement to Mary. And Frederick Buchner writes in his book called Peculiar Treasures, "She struck the angel Gabriel as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he'd been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. He told her what the child was to be named, who he was going to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. 'You mustn't be afraid, Mary,' he said. And as he said this, the only hope that she wouldn't notice that beneath the great wings, he himself was trembling with fear. Fear that the whole future of creation hung on the answer of this young girl. So of all the young Jewish women who ever lived, why did God choose Mary? We know that his birth had been prophesied for centuries. We were told that he would be born of the house of David. And we also were told that he'd be born in Bethlehem. Now, was it just a coincidence? Was it just that she happened to be engaged to a man who was from the house of David? Or that it just happened that while she was pregnant, she was going to have to travel to Bethlehem for the census? Somehow, I don't think that just happened. That it was a matter of her just happening to be in the right place at the right time. Mary was not chosen by pure chance. Mary was not just an ordinary teenage girl. Mary was special, and God had chosen her from the beginning of creation for this very important mission. She was chosen because God knew she was a woman willing to say yes to God. That was the key, being willing to say yes to God. She was a woman willing to lay aside her own hopes and dreams for her life and submit herself to God's plans. God, for reasons completely unknown to us, continually puts the hopes and dreams of himself into the fickle and failing hands of humans, just like you and I. One certainly could think that just seems to be divine insanity. Again, what is God thinking when he puts such trust in us? When he puts his hopes and dreams of the world into someone's hands like me? And he does. And I don't mean that I've been selected like Mary to do some earth-shattering event or carry out something so important. What he's asked me to do is something that the world will probably never even notice. But he does expect me, and he expects you, each and every one of you, to do our part to change the world. to change mankind. Not by carrying out some significant event, but simply by answering the call of His Son. By answering the call to follow His Son. By helping to fulfill the mission that He came to earth 2,000 years ago to accomplish. Christmas is just the beginning. Christmas is the beginning of an event that has no end. God's mission for us, the mission that Jesus left us with when He ascended to His Father in heaven, is ongoing. It is not something that we can hurry up and finish, then we can sit back and rest, carry on with the things that we wanted to do. God is looking for a world full of Mary and Josephs. He's looking for yes men and women. He's looking for not special talents or any kind of special capabilities. He's only looking for someone who is willing to say yes when He asks. Even for those of us who might not be parents, I think that we can all remember witnessing the stage in a child's life when they discover the dreaded word, no. They just have a certain way of saying it. No. Then inevitably, once they've learned this word, it seems to be the answer to every question you ask them. It's a long stage that they go through, unfortunately. And at what stage in our lives did we ever learn to say yes? Maybe it was when God asked us to come and follow Him. And based on the fact that we're all here this morning, I know that at one time or another, we each answered that call to come and follow His Son. We answered yes. But what does it really mean when we make a decision to say yes to God? So often we think that God is this divine person who likes playing games with us sometimes. I think we're often afraid to say yes to God because we don't know what He's going to ask us. What if He asked me to do something hard? What if He asked me to do something I don't want to do? It happens. If you remember recently, I told you about my experiences with saying yes to God about 14 years ago. When my saying yes to God caused me to move back here from Arizona. He asked me to come back from Arizona and I did not want to come. It was not my plan. But when I did come, I was totally convinced at the time I was only going to be here for 9 months. Little did I know that that 9 months was going to turn into 14 years. And now Marion and I are preparing to go back to Arizona. And we really don't know what God has in store for us. At least for the long haul, we think we have a pretty good idea what's going to happen over the next few months. And so often when we say yes to God's invitation, it requires a certain amount of growth and change on our part. But it's always worth what we may go through to accomplish that growth, to accomplish that change. I didn't want to come back here 14 years ago, but these last 14 years have been some of the most rewarding and some of the best years of my life so far. And I say so far because I'm fully convinced that the best is yet to come. I believe that God will ask Marion and I to say yes many, many more times during this next phase of our lives. And I hope and pray that we will be prepared to say yes again and again and again. And sometimes, maybe even often, saying yes to God is in fact saying no to some of our own hopes and dreams. Where would we be? Where would the world be if Mary had said no to Gabriel? If she had put her hopes and dreams ahead of God's? And it's easy to do that, isn't it? There's a hymn written by John Bell and Graham Maul that goes like this. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you leave yourself behind if I call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? When we answer God's call, we are never the same ever again. And believe me, that's a good thing. It's what God wants us to do. It's what God wants us to change. He wants us to grow. And answering His call forces us to do that. Whenever God chooses someone for a particular mission, He always prepares that person in advance. He never asks us to do something that we're not equipped or capable of doing. This fact couldn't be more obvious to us as it is today when we celebrate the birth of Christ. This mere child, this so very young Jewish girl who so long ago put her life's plans on hold and answered God's call and said yes. God had prepared her for this task from the beginning of her life. She didn't know it, but He stood by her, He supported her, He watched over her every single day of her life. And why? Because God knew she was prepared to say yes. We all need to live our lives one yes at a time. Donna Otto, in a book, Finding Your Purpose as a Mom, writes, "As far as I can tell, once Mary had said yes to the angel, she kept on saying yes to whatever God was doing in her life and in her home. She said, 'Yes, I'll go to Bethlehem with my husband, even though I'm very pregnant.' She said, 'Yes, I'll settle for a stable, and yes, I'll even agree to let those grungy shepherds see my newborn. Much later, she said, 'Yes, I'll let my son leave home to become an itinerant preacher. And yes, I'll be with him no matter what, even at the foot of the cross.' The life of Mary shows that the great things, the truly important things, always begin with someone saying yes to God and then moving along one yes at a time. When you keep in mind that your whole life is holy ground, you keep yourself open to the most wonderful opportunities that God has planned for you. And yes, there will be sacrifices as well as surprises when you choose to say yes to God. There will be sacrifices of your time, sacrifices of your own plans, and yes, even sometimes the sacrifices of your most treasured of dreams. But God's intention overall is to bless you, to bless each and every one of us. He has promised to dwell in you just as you dwell in Him. Once you say yes to the Lord, you won't know exactly where you'll end up, but you can know you will always find your way home, and God will be there waiting for you. We read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land." And that's the promise that Jesus gives us, that when we say yes to Him, the best will be provided us. Let's close this morning in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the precious gift of Your Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. We humbly come to You today with yes in our hearts. We pray for the courage and the strength to put our hopes and dreams aside and replace them with Your hopes and dreams for us. Help us today and every day to be ready to say yes whenever You ask. We ask this today in the name of Your most precious Son, our Lord and Savior, born today to save even the likes of a wretch like me. Merry Christmas, everyone.